Blog Talk Radio.
This is 050 on the radio. This is Thursday, November 12th, 2015. I'd like to thank my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for the talent and the opportunity to do this show. We got the NFL, we got college football, and for some reason, I might even talk about the Lakers. Hopefully, I purposely go overtime and don't have a two-minute warning today, because that means I'll have to talk about the Lakers, and you know that has not been a good subject for me ever since Mr. Well-You-Know-Who started running the team. Never mind, not getting in a bad mood this early in the show. Gotta get to week 10 in the NFL, and, well, it's time for the soldiers to start stepping up or stepping out. Now, again, they're going up against the Saints, and both teams, they're on the precipice right now. They're right on that plank. They're either going to jump in or jump out, and I think right now, the loser of this game, they're on their way out. Out the skin. They are 3-5. They have been 3-5 the last two seasons. And then subsequently, after they have gone 3-5, after that they have lost 15 of those last 16 games. After they have gone 3-5, they have been awful in the second half of the season. Doesn't matter if it's Jay Gruden, doesn't matter if it's Mike Shanahan, and they have been really bad at the second half of the season, and they start that up against the Saints. The Saints come up, and hey, you got a Drew Brees that is cooking. And he has almost 900 yards, 10 touchdowns, 3 interceptions in the 2 games in November. He has been on fire. The Saints have won 3 out of the last 4. The only reason they didn't win 4 in a row, Ty Forbath had his field goal blocked, a 46-yarder blocked at the end, not the end, but it was less than a minute left the game last week against the Titans. The Titans got the ball in overtime, went down the field, scored a touchdown, and that was ball game. And we'll see if the Skins can hold the fort. We know the myriad of things going on with them, but one thing that people might not be cognizant of, they have won 3 home games in a row. They're trying to win 4, and that would be an accomplishment in itself. Turnover zone, you know the routine. He stay out of the turnovers. Good things normally happen. Well, let's say he stay away from interceptions. The good things really happen because, hey, he turned over the ball against Tampa, but it even led to went for a touchdown. Didn't hurt them. So, Skins, Saints. Let's see what they do. Another big game for both teams in Oakland. As the Vikings are at the Raiders, and in this game, you got the two best quarterbacks in the 2014 class. Teddy Bridgewater for the Vikings. Derek Carr for the Raiders. Now, hey, I do understand Blake Bortles is starting them. Scorch up there in Jacksonville. So I have to mention his name just to say he is starting to come on. But these two are clearly the best ones. They're 12-8. Can you believe that? 12-8 when Teddy Bridgewater is starting. Remember, they won their first game against the Skins with Bridgewater starting last year. And they're starting to get it rolling. They're quietly 6-2. They're tying a loss column with the Packers, and they have your boy Adrian Peterson. He's starting to get it going. In his last 3 games, he's running for just under 109 yards a game, and 4.8 yards per carry. Hey, the Vikings are starting to look good. The Raiders, they're being the Raiders. Raiders got to give credit to Derek Carr. You know, he has 19 touchdowns, tied for 3rd in the league right now. And, hey, Michael Crabtree. Remember when people were like, well, so what, the Raiders are getting him? Hey, he's had 4 touchdowns in the last 3 games. And the Raiders, We already know the routine. They got the mini triplets. I gave them that name. I don't know if somebody else has been on top of it. I know Michael Irvin kind of fit them a little bit of the triplets over in Dallas. When you got Latavius Murray and you got Amari Cooper to go with Carr, you got some firepower. Well, hey, Michael Crabtree is adding his name right along with it. And they have been a lethal offense. Man, if they had a tight end, it would be curtain for real. And the Raiders, let's see if they can get on the track. But hey, the Vikings are a really difficult team. They are really good. No one's talking about them. 6-2. I use 6-2, and no one talking about you. I have no idea. Yeah, tonight's game, Bills at the Jets. We know this is the Rex Ryan Bowl. Rex Ryan last year, coach of the Jets. This year, he's coach of the Bills. Bills, the Jets have improved this year. They are now 5-3. The Bills are 4-4. But the Bills are the team with the talent that they have been beat up all season. But now they're starting to get some help. LeSean McCoy is starting to get healthy. Carlos Williams have gotten back. And, hey, last week, how about both of them going for 110-plus yards? McCoy with 112, Carlos Williams with 110. Fantastic. They won. And then their deep threat, Sammy Watkins, he hasn't played a lot of the year. He comes up with 8 catches, 168 yards, and a touchdown. Now, if they get that offense rolling, then the defense can do what they're meant to do. Because when the defense comes up and has a lead, they are a terror to folks. How about Mario Williams? He hadn't even gotten started yet this season. As most of the Bills haven't this year, they've been a mediocre defense. That's not supposed to be the case, not with Rex Ryan and the talent they have on that defensive squad. And the Jets, they have been the defense that has been better looking at them. But they really gotta get their injuries together. They are injured all over the place. But their main issue is what is up with Chris Ivory? 84 yards in the last 3 games. Total 84 yards. Are you kidding me? Last week he ran for 1.2 yards per carry. Are you kidding me? Yeah, he scored 2 touchdowns. Fantasy people overjoyed, but 2 yards per carry. Hey, got to do better than that. And that is a Thursday night game. Back on Sunday, we got the Panthers and the Titans. Hey, the Panthers are still undefeated. And what about Cam Newton? Got to be an MVP candidate this year. He is doing it all. His team is undefeated. And how about this? He's on pace to throw 28 touchdown passes and have 10 touchdowns rushing. No player has ever had 25 touchdowns and 10 touchdowns rushing. No one has done that. That they are going for their 12th straight win in a row with Luke out there. Boy, they are a totally different team with them. And then how about Marcus Mariota? Something that you don't see too often. This is his third game against a Heisman Trophy winner this year. In his first 7 games. Now, you kind of say, well, the ironic stuff about that is that he himself is a Heisman Trophy winner. And you come up and remember he started the season with Winston. Then the next game he had Johnny Manziel. And now he goes up against Cam Newton. How about that to open up your NFL career? Yeah, Mariota played brilliantly last week, leading the Titans to the win in New Orleans. And how about the game in Philadelphia? Boy, you got some big time. In my opinion, you might have jobs on the line and everything on this one. What about the Dolphins? Hey, last week they got shredded. I mean, I don't even know what happened. First team in the history of the NFL to have 2 100-yard rushers and a 150-yard receiver in the same game. What is going on with that defense? Ndamukong Suh, Olivier Vernon, what is going on with those guys? guys. They are supposed to be terrorizing folks, and they're not even close. They're not even anywhere near to where people thought they would be. Thus, it has gone to the offense. Ryan Tannehill hadn't been able to alleviate the pressure, and therefore, you have the Dolphins struggling. When even though they've done a lot better with Dan Campbell, starting to get the running game going a little bit more. But how about the Eagles? Boy, they kept staying patient, and now they got it going. You know, and that two-headed running back in DeMarco Murray and Ryan Matthews. How about last four games? 620 yards rushing and six touchdowns by the two. They have been getting it done. And in their last four games, how about this? The Eagles have averaged just under 29 points per game and just under 339 yards per game. That is the Eagle offense that people have been waiting for. They're starting to get it going at the right time. November, this is usually their time of year where they get it rocking. Then let's see what happens with the Eagles. This time, if they get hot, they could run away from this joint, and the Cowboys can talk about them coming back. It wouldn't be happening. Meanwhile, in the Meadowlands, the Patriots are coming to town, everybody. But you know, the only team not to worry about that are the Giants. How about that? Eli Manning and the Giants. They won their last three games against the Patriots. Do you need to know that two of those were in the Super Bowl? I don't think so. How about the fact that the last time the Patriots beat them, that was the last game in that 2007 season. That was the one that gave them 16-0. And now, and since then, it has been dreary, dreary, dreary. Every time they saw the Giants, hey, the Giants, a game that the Giants, that is forgotten, the Giants went into New England and broke the Patriot 31-game win streak at home. They have just been fantastic here. So let's see here. Looks like we have a call here. Caller, what's your name and where are you calling from?
This is Jay. I'm calling from Chesapeake Beach, Maryland. How's it going, O? Show pretty good today.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you very much. Do you have a question?
I just want to get your opinion on something. Right now, the NFL, who would be your MVP? I heard you bring up Cam, but you know, I'm a big Brady fan.
Right now, I think it will pretty much be unanimous. I don't think anybody can compare to Tom Brady right now. He is. Had a season arguably as good as better than his MVP season in 2007. Of course, that was the one he threw 50 touchdowns. And so he's been on a totally different level. Add to the fact that he has a makeshift offensive line this year where he has, I believe, one starter from last year on the offensive line. They've just thrown together offensive line, and he's been getting rid of the ball faster than any quarterback in the league. And, yes, he's been, you know, incredible. They're right now, I mean, right now, if you had to pin me down, he would be the MVP, and the runner-up would probably be Candy. That would probably be
I'm going to make it easier for you. Give me out these three young quarterbacks, even though I know Tyrod's been in the league longer than Carr and Bridgewater, who would you take, Carr, Bridgewater, or Tyrod? I think Carr got a better receiving crew. You know, Bridgewater got the running game.
Let's not totally ignore the Bills. Tyrod Taylor hadn't had his receiving core healthy this year.
Right.
I mean, he's had Sammy Watkins. Is a really good receiver when he's healthy. I mean, unfortunately, he has not been healthy this year. So then you have but if I would have to pick, remember Derek Carr had a good rookie year, and he didn't have any wide receivers. Matter of fact, the wide receivers he had are the backups this year. I mean, that's how good he was last year. Now he just has better wide receivers with Amari Cooper and Michael Crabtree, And I keep saying, what happens when he gets a tight end? If he gets a tight end over in Oakland, people are in trouble because that's the only weakness they have on the offensive end. Their offensive line has been stout. They've been doing surprisingly well with the run. Latavius Murray has done well. So if I had to rank them, Tyrod Taylor would get the lower end of the stick. He would be the last one. I would go Carr, Bridgewater. I don't know.
What do you think about that one? You sleep on that one.
Carr and Bridgewater are about even. You got to give Bridgewater credit. They are 6-2 this year. You can't even name the wide receivers for Minnesota. Mike Wallace.
Don't forget the Maryland boy.
No. Well, that's when Bridgewater got hot. I mean, we do understand that Stephon Diggs is the number one guy over there. But I'm talking about when you came into the season, arguably their best wide receiver was Mike Wallace, who was disappointing in Miami, and he's been a disappointment again. So they come up and they put Stephon Diggs in there, and the fact is he comes up and he makes the plays that they were expecting Mike Wallace to. And Stephon Diggs, matter of fact, he's got Stephon Diggs and Bridgewater. Can you believe University of Maryland has Stephon Diggs and didn't use him correctly? I mean, my goodness, that doesn't even make any sense as good as he's been in the pros. But the fact is that Diggs has been Bridgewater's outlet, but the fact is he doesn't have that other wide receiver. He does have a tight end. Kyle Rudolph is fine at a tight end, but They don't have that other wide receiver to really let Bridgewater break out. However, they do have who I still say is the number one running back out there, and that is Adrian Peterson. So that is the difference there. I'm not ignoring Tyrod Taylor. I do understand what he has, and I do understand that he has unfinished version of offense, but we do know Rex Ryan does not put that much emphasis on the offensive side. And I think if he did, that team would be a lot better. They have weapons over there. I mean, they really do have weapons. I mean, LeSean McCoy hadn't been used the way I think he should have this year. Carlos Williams has been one of the real big surprises this year. You got Watkins out there. Percy Harvin hadn't been used too much because he's been injured almost all year. I mean, they have weapons out there for Buffalo. They just haven't been able to use.
I'm going to let you continue your show. Before I go, I'm tell you right now, Georgetown will upset Maryland. I'm out. Enjoy the show.
Okay, Georgetown will upset. Well, we with that next week. So
we'll talk about that next week. I'm out. Peace.
All right. Take care now. Jay from Chesapeake Beach holding the fort. Appreciate it. And so we got to get to talked about the Giants and how well they play against the Patriots. There's one of the real phenomenons out there. They're won their last three, and again trying to understand how the Giants are so good. How about them plus 12 in a turnover? In the turnover margin, they have been fantastic. And the Patriots, well, they just do what they do. Brady's been sensational. We've talked about it all season. He has two interceptions, and you can argue that the first interception that wasn't dropped was last week. He only has two, but the first one was dropped by Edelman. And the last week he threw a reverse interception that really counted. But the Patriots, how about they have converted 48.5% on third down. Now, I just wanted to throw that out there. I mean, the team is just an offensive machine. They have just been rolling. Big time Sunday night game, and I mean big time. We were here this time last year. We were almost in the same exact spot. But the Cardinals going to Seattle. They had a two-game lead. The Seattle was coming up, they were walking wounded, and then they started laying the wood to people. Well, here we go again. The Cardinals, they again have a two-game lead. Remember, this was the game that Carson Palmer was knocked out. He did not return. And they went downhill. The Seahawks went uphill. Well, let's see what happens this time. Hey, Carson Palmer's been ridiculous this year. Their best quarterback ratio in the NFC has 20 touchdowns this year. That's also number one in the NFC. Remember, 12-2 are the Cardinals with Carson Palmer at quarterback. And the Seahawks, they got to get it going. They have had a lot of internal strife, but I think right now is the time for them to get it moving. Personally, if I were them, I'd try to get some of that passing attack going. How come they haven't used Jimmy Graham is beyond me. They got him to be the big-time playmaker. They haven't used him. How do you get a weapon like Jimmy Graham and not use him is beyond me. All right, got to go to college football real quick. How about Ohio State at Illinois? Why are you even mentioning this game? I mean, why don't you just talk about Ohio State's record left and right? Yes, they won 16 in a row on the road. Yes, they have a 23-game win streak as a whole. Yes, they won a record 29 in a row in the Big Ten. We understand all that. This is the return of J.D. Barrett, and it can't be too soon because you know who comes up next. This is the game before the two games for Ohio State. They're saying this is the game before the playoffs in their book because that's pretty much what it is. It is with Michigan State and then Michigan in the season, and you have the Big 12 championship game, and then if you get past that, then you have the playoffs. We know all the strife that is going on in Illinois. They fired their head coach at the beginning of the year. Now they just fired their AD. But how about this real quick for Illinois fans? I do see your people's Keyshawn Vaughn, the freshman running back. He is doing it. And I'm going to tell you, a running back that NFL draft people better keep their eye on, and that's Josh Ferguson. He's the senior. They can run the ball at Illinois. Their problem is throwing the ball. All right, in North Carolina, in Chapel Hill, you know it is a week where I am just in a hole where you just can't root for anybody because Miami is playing North Carolina, and not only are they playing North Carolina, this is the game where if North Carolina wins, they clinch at least a tie for the ACC Coastal Division. And, hey, you got to give North Carolina, man, they have been rolling. Their defense has been on point. Got to give this credit to Gene Chizik, giving up 120 yards left. And look, Marquise Williams, if it wasn't for Deshaun Watson, he would be an ACC player, offensive player of the year. He has been sensational. His wide receivers, Ryan Hollins, and then you have Whistler and Quinshon Davis out there. Ooh, they are loaded. Miami's going to have to deal with it. They've been 2-0 since the firing of Al Golden, and they are 4-1 against the Hills. Remember, they blew out the Hills last year. Kaya's going to have to get it going, but again, everything with Miami depends on their defense. If they can hold them off, watch out. The Canes can pull off the upset, even in Chapel Hill. Remember, their big-time victory this year was 8 miles down the road at Duke. Big game of the week, Alabama at Mississippi State. Say what? What are you talking about? Yes, I did say that. That big game of the week since 2001, the game after LSU, Alabama's 7-7. That's right, 7-7. Their only problem is Mississippi State. Well, hey, Mississippi State, they have a different animal this year, or do they? Dak Prescott, he's only thrown one interception all year long. But last year, if you remember, he threw three against Alabama. And they're going to have to find a way to get it going. Alabama's defense starting to get stout. They're averaging just over 16 points a game allowed. They are doing what they do at Bama. It should be a good one over in Starkville, Mississippi. And what about Houston, Texas? Oh, I know all of y'all are getting up, raising up in the former residence. I know, Memphis coming to Houston. Houston's ranked 16th. I didn't think I'd ever see that anytime soon, but they are. And this is this could be conference offensive player of the year award time. The winner of this one, with Paxton Lynch, and Greg Ward Jr. Hey, Paxton Lynch has been sensational. Two interceptions this year. He had eight consecutive games of 300 yards. Memphis, they just keep it rolling with that guy. He is, in my opinion, he's at least number two on the quarterbacks to be drafted in the NFL this year, if not number one. And then you have Houston, Greg Ward. He averages over 92 yards a game. He has 16 touchdowns rushing the 92 yards a game. That's second to Keenan Reynolds, who drove Memphis up a wall last week. And but how about the Cougar defense? I never thought I'd say that in one sentence. The Cougars, Houston Cougar defense, 25 takeaways, number one in the country. In Stanford, you have Oregon, coming to town. You know they want to upset the Cardinal. Remember, in 2012 and 2013, Stanford upset Oregon, who was undefeated both times, to eliminate all of that. So now they're saying, hey, Stanford's undefeated in the Pac-12. If they take them out, that'll eliminate their playoff aspirations that they have. Hey, what about Royce Freeman? Over 143 yards a game rushing, number one in the Pac-12. But look, offensive player of the year, that's going to Christian McCaffrey. He is number one in the country with over 241 yards all-purpose rushing. He has been sensational. And Stanford, remember, how about this? They won 45 of their last 50 at home. They have really started to get that home field going up over there. Can they get them better facilities? That's another day. Oklahoma at Baylor. This might be the game of the day. Hey, what about Baylor? They keep on getting penalized for their low strength of schedule, but they're still undefeated, and they're about to get into it right now. Their strength of schedule is right now. They play Oklahoma, then they play Oklahoma State, then they end it off with TCU. Well, that's your whole strength. If you go undefeated there, you're good. Good. But unfortunately, they don't have Seth Russell. They got to do it with the freshman, Jared Steedham, but he did throw 419 yards and three touchdowns last week. Oklahoma, they got the same deal. Their schedule, get tight right now. They play Baylor, then they play TCU, and then they play Oklahoma State. That's right. They just flip it around, both of them. Their strength of schedule coming right now. Hey, their defense leads the Big 12 in almost all the categories: rushing defense, passing defense, total defense, scoring defense, and they're going against the number one offense in the country. And you know how much I love Corey Coleman. Over 147 yards per game receiving and 20 touchdowns, lead the nation. Hey, he's only seven away from getting a record set by, I believe, Troy Edwards in Louisiana Tech. And then you have Washington State and UCLA. Hey, talk about Washington State. They keep on winning. Luke Falk, he is number one in the country still with 415 passing yards a game. He has 33 touchdowns. He's completing 70% of his passes. He keeps on getting it done. His number one receiver is Gabe Marks. He leads the Pac-12 in receptions and touchdowns. And UCLA, they won four in a row. They're starting to get hot. Josh Rosen with his 131 passes now without an interception. And they've scored over 39 points, just under 39 points a game, 549 yards in their three-game winning streak. They have been rolling. Whoo! Well, only 30 seconds left. I don't have to talk about the Lakers. Thank heavens, because it would probably take 5 minutes anyway. Wait. All I got to say right now is that Kobe Bryant is getting dissed in a way that no superstar has ended his career before. We'll talk about that. And next week, we'll talk a little bit about it on Monday, day after the review of the football week, because it is bad in L.A. All right, well, we'll be back with you on Monday at 9 o'clock, hopefully. Until then, toodaloo, and bye-bye.